Don't be mistaken, though. He is not a one-dimensional receiver. His size makes it very difficult to defend him in traffic. Standing at 6 feet 2 inches and a longer wingspan, he's able to climb the ladder to help his quarterback out. And at 215 pounds, he possesses the strength to shake off contact and absorb the big hits.
Very athletic kid. You know, he's a big receiver, so he always has the potential to make big plays. And so, you know, we have to put him in a position that he can make big plays, and we have to put him in positions where we create mismatches on the other side, and then he's got to step up and make them.
In addition to this rare combination of size and speed, Roberts provides a down-to-earth attitude. A highly touted recruit, he received offers from the likes of Alabama, Florida, and Louisville before a verbal commitment to UCLA. But you would never know that just by talking with him. He was always humble and willing to share the spotlight. If you don't believe me, listen to the advice that he gives younger players in similar situations.
Just, you know, always remain humble and just keep thinking back where you started and where you want to be. Just have it in your head that there's someone out there that's better than you. You know, just keep you pushing.
Austin Roberts is definitely a player that demands attention, and rightfully so. A combination of size, speed, and a winning attitude, he provides a stable option for the lethal Greyhounds' aerial attack. For WHJE Radio, this has been Jesse Smith.
And just giving you a little bit of what's to come, we're going to be doing some player profiles, and John, I know you're going to be giving some coach profiles, but now it's time for the halftime show here, about 7 minutes away from the start of the second half. Again, if you're just joining us, it is 28-14 in favor of the Center Grove Trojans. We're going to take a little bit of time to analyze what we just saw there and what you folks at home have been listening to. It's been a back-and-forth game, definitely been a kind of a shootout atmosphere, but it's been about the execution in the red zone so far. And if you look at the total yardage, 336 to 209, it doesn't really tell the story too much. 253 rushing yards by the Center Grove Trojans. That attack led by Max Norris and Lane Morris of the Center Grove Trojans. Max Norris having a 94-yard touchdown run and a 99-yard touchdown run there in the first quarter to open up the game. But the Carmel offense, led by John Lampe in that aerial attack, started to storm back there. Lampe having 129 yards at the half. The rushing game has been there so far in this one. 80 yards in the first half to supplement what has been a pretty balanced attack.
Yeah, Jesse, I think that brings up a good point, too, is obviously what the team is doing well is what you want to keep doing. It's a pretty easy concept for people to understand. And the nice thing about that is then the keys to victory kind of follow. And for Carmel, the key to victory is to stop this running game. I mean, think about it this way. 253 yards on the ground, rushing. That's enough said right there. Obviously, the first thing here is that linebacking core needs to step up for the Greyhounds. They have done an incredible job this game thus far. Guys like Ryan Sondles, guys like Sam Story, Mitchell Ingram, we're talking about, even guys like Anthony Mazza, who come in and add that extra oomph into the team. But the coverage team has done too much of cleanup. And what I'm talking about is we've seen too many guys like Luke Parker out there having to make open field tackles, touchdown-saving tackles, where guys should have been wrapped up long ago. You know, going back to what you said before, Max Norris has had two breakaway carries. One of them coming from where he should have been wrapped up at the line of scrimmage. He's just able to burst out and gets all the way downfield for almost that untouched touchdown, I guess you can say. And so you can't rely on that secondary to have to make those kind of tackles. And now going back to the other side of the field, the Greyhounds have done a good job of balancing their attack, 129 passing yards to 80 rushing yards. But here's the deal. Lampe has not gotten the ball as much as I would like to see him have it. He played extremely well last game against Trinity. You know, like we were talking about, he was 13 for 18 with a passing touchdown to Thomas Baldwin. Now, here's the deal. It was a beautiful pass to the corner of the end zone, 21-yard touchdown pass, and it ended a four-play, 67-yard scoring drive with 15 seconds left in the game. Now, unfortunately, that finalized the score at 35 to Trinity's 42 points. But, Jesse, we're beginning to see almost a little bit of the same story. Going back to that Trinity game, we saw Trinity. They came up, were able to score 35 points to Carmel's 21. And then, of course, Austin Roberts with that kickoff return. Jesse, you need a guy like Austin Roberts right now to come up big.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about who the MVPs of the game so far have been, you got to throw Austin Roberts' name in there, coming up with that huge touchdown reception over the middle. And what I've liked from him so far, we were talking about it, all that speed in that the player profile earlier in the half. He's been going over the middle a lot more than we're used to seeing. We're used to seeing Austin Roberts be that deep, straight down the field on a streak route kind of player. But over the middle, he has been absolutely lethal to this secondary.
And I really want to see this Carmel defensive line start to step up for us. I want to bring up a guy. He's a fantastic defensive end. But here's the deal. When I read off his attributes, you're going to take a deep breath. Sean Stetson, number 93. He's a defensive end. But here's the deal. He's a senior. He's only 5'6", 163 pounds. But, man, does he have a presence on that team. Very fantastic player. Last game, he had 6 tackles and 3 assists. And he almost plays that linebacker spy kind of a position. And then they drop him down to the defensive line. He's able to come off of the line with quick bursts and really put a lot of pressure on a quarterback who, right now, they need to be putting a lot more pressure on him.
Absolutely. And when you talk about Sean Stetson, yeah, you see the specs there. 5'6" and about 163 pounds. But you got to understand, he might be one of the strongest guys around, especially for his size. And he is very quick off the line of scrimmage, able to read the quarterback and the counts very well. But the ability to get that leverage and that strength from such a low position, he does a great job, able to bring down the ball carrier in the backfield. He's been doing it all season.
Again, another guy at the nose guard position. He really almost holds the defense together, and we mention him a lot. But he almost is an under-the-radar kind of guy. Vic Rowe, he's a senior, 6'3", 264 pounds. He's a very, very big presence on that field. Makes it very hard for centers on all teams. And he does wreak havoc. I'd like to see him do a little more. Last game, he only had 5 tackles. But he led the team in assist. That is second to another defensive lineman, Kendall Hune, someone that we've already seen in the backfield quite a bit. He actually got plopped on his back there before. But I would like to see them end the plays, close in on that pocket a little more. They're doing a good job getting in the backfield, but they're not closing in on that pocket.
And when you flip it onto the other side of the field, I think in this situation you kind of have to put the ball in your hands of your veteran quarterback, Luke Calvert. He has had a great game so far. The stats aren't really going to show it as much. He has 83 passing yards. Impressive. Impressive for the first half, to say the least. But Calvert has been under pressure for a lot of this game so far. And I think with him running the options, and he has 2 running backs, well, actually 3 running backs to choose from. If you throw Daggett in there, he has a 5-yard touchdown rush earlier in the first half. I think if you really let him run it at the line of scrimmage, some very good things are going to come your way if you're Center Grove.
Well, and Jesse, another fact that we haven't mentioned thus far is the penalty factor and the penalty margin. Calvert's just had a tough job getting anything going, because every time he leads his team, you know, whether he converts on a third down pass or he comes out with some good steam, it seems like there's a holding call or a personal foul due to just you know, roughness that's unjustified, you know? And so I think right now we're beginning to see some of that take effect in the ball game. Now, again, the score, folks, 28-14 in favor of the Trojans, but that honestly doesn't really reflect the type of gameplay, Jesse.
And I want to give a quick shout-out to one of the most underappreciated aspects of football, in my opinion, are the special teams. The special teams, you know, we really haven't mentioned them too much throughout the night, but they have been quite impressive. If you look at the Center Grove side, 4-for-4 in extra points, and Adam Kramer also has 2 extra points and a touchback on the kickoff. So both of the special teams doing their job. And, you know, we really, if you think about it, the special teams is one of those things that when they make a mistake, you know, we're the first to say, oh, here comes the special teams, you know, having some issues tonight, but never really fully giving them that credit that I believe they fully deserve.
Well, and again, going back to Adam Kramer, had a great game. 4 point after attempts, or excuse me, 5, and was able to tack on all 5. So 5 points to Adam Kramer, and he's just the starter. And we've got other guys like Ian Finley. You know, we talked about Sam Eastus before. She played for Clay Middle School, was the kicker over there. And She's a soccer player coming over here and playing football against all odds, you know, of course the stereotypes, but comes out and shocks people. And then again, you've got more depth with the transfer. Jesus Estevez over from Westfield came over here to Carmel so he could play football. And Jesse, it just goes to speak and take it away from kicking. The coverage you've got as well, guys like Noah Burks, and I know we talk a lot about him, but coming up big last game, he had 6 tackles as a sophomore, 4 assists. So really, he's racking up 10 big plays there as a sophomore.
And you also have guys, you know, who see regular playing time. You have the Landon Sinis, and you have Riley Smith especially tonight coming up big on the special teams. Guys giving it their full effort out there and really coming up with some big plays, making sure on both ends of the ball. That goes for Center Grove as well. The returns haven't been much of a premium. We saw one kind of breakaway there from Roberts at the end of the half. But for the most part, been pretty consistent fundamental tackling on the part of the special teams.
Well, and how about the cornerback who's stepped up incredibly these past 3 games? Actually, this just entire season, number 43, Jack Conway, the senior. And honestly, we didn't really expect much out of him this year. His backup is Jimmy Souderstrom, who in recent years has really stepped up as a good player. And so we thought Conway might have a little competition there, but comes out with 3 crucial tackles in the Arsenal Tech game, which then kind of started to put the spotlight on him defensively, comes up with a great interception last game against Trinity. And folks, if you were at the game, you saw what I'm talking about when I say exceptional. Conway was able, he actually just ran right up to the line, jumps in the air, grabs the ball, snatches it, and almost runs it back. Very good job by Conway there. And so he's really stepped up big today defensively.
And, you know, when you go back to that play, it's all about timing. You got to have the perfect timing on that play on a screen pass from a quarterback like Reggie Bonifon that we saw last week from Trinity with that big arm of his. And he was able to just snatch that one. Great reflexes and great hands, showing off the receiving ability a little bit as Carmel is going to receive the second half kickoff trailing by 14. They will have Roberts and Perkins back deep to return. Always a threat, both of these guys, for a breakaway. So it will be Northern for the Trojans, kicking this one away towards the middle of the field. That one will go sailing out of bounds, and the Carmel Greyhounds will once again start at the 35-yard line.
And so that's Nathaniel Snyder, the kicker, having a tough time today. That's the second kick to go out of bounds, resulting in that penalty, which gives the Greyhounds incredible field position. And again, he is only a sophomore. And so, tough there, but Isaac James is going to come out here to start the second half. Now, that is different than last game, Jesse. We did see Lampy get quite a bit of playing time in the second half, so Kevin Wright sticks to his word and is going with that duo here.
And Isaac James has been a lot more effective, it seems like, through the rushing game this time. The rushing team for the Carmel Greyhounds was 80 yards in the first half from his own 35, 4 wide set. He's going to drop back and pass this time. Now he's going to run it up the middle, takes a big shot, still on his feet, stumbling across the 40-yard line. He's going to pick up about 5 extra yards after the initial contact there, set up about a 2nd and 3.
And so a good little quarterback draw there, held it for quite a while. Good testament to the blocking of the offensive line, created a beautiful pocket there. And then Isaac James is able to run between the right guards. Hey, that's Jacob Victrop, a right tackle. And we've mentioned he's had a tough time today, but doing a good job himself.
4 wide set for the Greyhounds, 2nd and 4 from their own 41-yard line. He's going to give this one up the middle to Perkins. A penalty flag flies. If it stands, it will be a first down, but this one might be coming back near the line of scrimmage. So 11:47 remaining, just underway here of the second half. Very frustrating penalty here for the Carmel Greyhounds, as that one would have moved the chains close to Center Grove territory. Instead, they're going to be moving in the wrong direction, and it will remain 2nd down. It looks like it's going to be about a 2nd and 15 situation.
So again, folks, you might be wondering how Center Grove has a 2-score lead. Again, 28-14 in favor of Center Grove, 11:47 remaining in this third quarter. But the total yards, 336 to Carmel's 219.
So it will be James again. Four wide set. They split the difference. Perkins will re-enter the game as the tailback. He takes the snap. He fakes the handoff. Now he's going to keep this one off the left tackle, bursting through the hole up in the middle of the field and gains about 7 yards, setting up a third and manageable situation for this offense. Let's see who they elect to go with from the quarterback situation. James looking to stay on the field. 11-17 remaining, still 28-14 in favor of the Center Grove Trojans, as Pearson will come out in favor of Joey Scott, the tight end, in this situation.
So Joey Scott had two drops last game, which created some trouble there. So obviously he's trying to come out and get a little bit of redemption himself.
Third and six. They're going to go three wide set this time. Perkins in the backfield. He's going to hand it off to Perkins. Left tackle. He bursts through the hole across the 50-yard line into Center Grove territory, easily having the first down and a lot more.
Chris Perkins coming up big when he gets the call. Very, very elusive back. Hey, he was the second on the team in average yards per carry last year. 4.9 rushing touchdowns, 7. And again, like we see there, he's excellent off the tackles and guards and getting that opportunity in the open field to make something happen. So first down here for Isaac James.
So going with that three wide set, Scott lined up as the tight end. He's going to give that one off to Perkins, left tackle, trying to dance to the outside. He has some room there. He's going to gain about 6 yards there on first down. Nice consecutive runs there by the tailback Perkins.
And so Chris Perkins coming out here in the second half and really starting to open up the running game a little bit. Really almost played that short yardage game last week against Trinity, but starting to capitalize on the rush. Now they're over that 100-yard mark as a rushing core.
And he is going to hand it up to Perkins once again out to the left side, trying to get close to that first down. Looks like he's going to be just short of that one. It's going to set up a third at about one or two. So three consecutive runs there by the tailback Perkins is going to set him up for a third and very manageable situation for them.
And so it looks like we're going to see number 26, Alex Aukerman, there helping out on the tackle. We've called his name three or four times tonight.
Same formation, three wide set, as James will take a look back over towards the sideline for additional signals right here with about 9.5 remaining in the third quarter. The Carmel offense with a steady attack on the ground in this drive. He's going to give it off to Perkins once again up the middle, still barreling through, moving those legs all the way. He'll gain 4 or 5 yards, a couple more than he needed to move the chains. So it will be a fresh set of downs coming up for the Carmel Greyhounds. Shakir Pascal will come in to give Perkins a breather after four consecutive runs and the first down. So nice job there by Perkins, the junior. Placing him is another junior, Pascal, who has a rushing touchdown 5 yards earlier in this one. Three wide set, two to his right for James. Looks over, screen pass to Roberts, has some room off the right side across the 30-yard line. He's going to be brought down from behind. A nice tackle there by Aukerman once again, but a gain of about 6 yards.
And Roberts is a tough guy to bring down. Aukerman's done a good job of handling the wide receiver core for the Greyhounds today. He's kind of a small guy over there in the secondary, but a good job to take Austin Roberts down.
8:50 remaining in the third quarter. 28-14 is still the score in favor of Center Grove. They're going to come out same formation as James has been out there for this entire drive so far, but a 2nd and 5 from the Center Grove 30-yard line. Right hash, he gives it off. He's going to keep it this time. Following the lead blocker, Pascal takes a big shot across the 20-yard line, and he will have the first down now inside the red zone.
Folks, I apologize here. Aukerman is actually listed at 6'2", which does match Austin Roberts, who does, you know, Roberts, against most DBs, has quite the size advantage. But Aukerman there matches him at 6'2", and it's been quite a good matchup this game.
Coming out same formation this time. It looks like Perkins will run this one up the middle, diving to across the 16, maybe 15-yard line for about a gain of 4.
Good job there. It looked like Sam Shove, the right guard, really opening up things there for Perkins. And, you know, Jesse, we talk about it a lot. Those 3 and 4 yard gains, they don't seem like a lot at the moment, but that is steady yardage right there, and it's taking time off the clock.
And when you consider it also is on first down, setting up, you know, a 2nd and manageable already, opens up the playbook a little more. Same three wide set, pistol formation for James, and he's going to give it right back to Perkins, who's going to try to go across to about the 18-yard line. He's going to set up about a 3rd and 2 situation now living his life about 3-4 yards at a time. Is Perkins on this drive, but it has been effective.
So 28-14 here in favor of Center Grove. 7:27 remaining in this third quarter here. The Greyhounds are really starting to creep up on that Center Grove end zone.
A big third down and three. From the 13-yard line, they give it up to James. Is going to keep it this time, but nowhere to go right there. A lot of people started to bite on Perkins on that one, but good job out of defense. Able to hold. It's going to set up about a fourth and two situation, a long one possibly, with exactly seven to go here in the third quarter. Still 28-14. Center Grove lead. Offense is staying out there on the field.
And so the offense is 1-for-1 on fourth down conversions. They weren't able to convert last game, but let's see if they can keep that track record at 100% here. Here's a fourth and one here from James.
Four wide pistol formation, looks for the screen, gets it to Roberts. It's going to be close. He's going to dive across, still moving those legs across to about the 6-yard line. He's going to have plenty for the first down after initial contact. So moving into the in goal situations.
So now we're going to see the two tight ends come in here for the Greyhounds. That's going to be Joe Scott and Nate Becker. And they're both going to line up on that right side here now for Isaac James. Has played this entire drive. He's got Perkins in the backfield.
And it looks like he's going to keep this one. Right side has some room to run. He's going to get into the end zone for the touchdown. And Isaac James with a great drive right there, leading his team back into a one-possession game, 20-28.
Great play call there by the Greyhounds. That almost read option, if you will, and it does get the defense to bite. They've been good this entire drive. But Perkins, able to keep that misdirection, draws the defense off of James, and some great blocking there on the right side. And Isaac James is able to skate in for the touchdown, untouched.
And here's a big extra point attempt coming up from Adam Kramer. With 6:22 remaining in the third quarter, the Greyhounds able to take a lot of time off the clock there with that first possession of the half, and we are going to have penalty markers fly for the PAT. So let's see. It looks like it's going to be a false start against Carmel, moving Kramer back a little bit. Kramer has not attempted a field goal so far this year, so hasn't had to show off the range any, but it's going to have to tack on an extra 5 yards for this PAT.
And Kramer's been perfect here in these last two games. So obviously he wants to keep that statistic the same. 28-20 now after the Hounds tack on those 6 points. Kramer trying to get it within seven.
Equivalent about a 25-yard field goal. We're going to have another penalty flag. Let's see who this one's going to be called on. Officials will discuss it. And it looks like Carmel's backing up even more, making this possible close to 30-yard attempt for a point after. Kramer's going to have to come up with a pretty big kick here. He does have the range. We've seen it so far in warm-ups. He was warming up for the second half around 40. So let's see. Kramer's going to be kicking from his own 20-yard line, a 30-yard attempt for the point after. Trying to make it a 7-point game. Snap and hold are good. The kick is up and will not be good. Does not have enough to get there. A line drive kick, and it will remain an 8-point game.
And so, folks, that is a critical PAT right there. Because now that puts on the pressure for the Greyhounds. Hopefully they can hold Center Grove now in this next drive to 28-20, that 8-point lead. But now you're starting to get into 2-score, even 3-score territory. And see, if Center Grove tries to tack on the 2-point conversion, hypothetically, if they were to score, now you really put on the pressure there for at least a field goal by Adam Kramer, not to mention 3 scores. And that is way into the future there, but it's something you got to keep in mind there. These little things do add up. We've seen it in the Arsenal Tech game. Quite a lopsided score there with the safety and all. But every point does count, folks, in these ball games. So again, 28-20 in favor of Center Grove. On a positive note, the Greyhounds were able to get it within 8. And it still is that one possession score right there.
They're able to do a lot of it on the ground as they have now surpassed their passing total, as Kramer is going to kick this one away That one bouncing at about the 5-yard line, deflects off of a player and will go out of bounds. And will be the automatic touchback rule. As soon as the ball enters the end zone, it is called a touchback with no return available.
And so at this high school level, the 20-yard line sure seems like a pretty far distance. Now, Center Grove has proven that they can convert from even within the 5-yard line. At one time, they were backed up to their own 3-yard line. And a big shout-out there to the running back, Max Norris, who's able to break it away for about a 95-yard touchdown. And then tacks on a second one as well. So it's definitely possible here with 6:21 remaining in the third quarter.
Calvert will take the snap and give it off to Daggett. Left tackle breaks the tackle, but he's going to be brought down there. Nice job there by Jack Conway getting in there into the backfield in a hurry. So 6:10 remaining here in the third quarter. Will be 28-20 remaining is the score right now. Trojans have the ball and the lead. But from their own 20-yard line, it will be 2nd and 10. And they have 336 yards of total offense. A very impressive display. Got to give a lot of the credit to the guys up front with that offensive line. But the split back formation is going to give this one to Morris up through the middle, breaking tackles. But Vic Rowe is going to come from behind and save them from a first down right there, hustling all the way, setting up a 3rd and about 5.
And again, like you said, Jesse, Vic Rowe there, big play. Saved the first down, but possibly more. We've seen Norris break it away multiple times tonight.
So 3rd and 5 from their own 25-yard line. The clock keeps ticking away. 5:16 remaining in the third quarter. 28-20 remains the score, with the Center Grove Trojans having the lead. Full house formation. He fakes it, rolling out. He's going to run this one up the middle. He's going to be stopped short of the first down, almost losing handling on that one. But it will be a 4th and short, and the linebacking crew coming in the clutch right there with Anthony Mazza making the stop on that one up the middle.
That's the second time we've called Mazza's name tonight with big stops now. So, folks, very, very critical 4th down here. And they're going to go ahead and bring out the punt team. A smart decision there by Center Grove. I know Luke Calvert, the senior, was wanting to stay on, but a smart decision there by the coaching staff. Now we're going to see a little bit of a stoppage of game here. It looks like it's going to be a timeout on the Greyhounds.
Timeouts of a premium in this game, as it seemed to be at the end of the half, but Coach Wright wanting to make sure, because we don't know in this situation, a possible punt fake, you don't want to take a chance. Make sure everyone's on the same page.
And we've seen crazy things happen in the games, like we talked about, Jesse. And again, if you look at that kickoff formation there from Center Grove, they start out almost in an onside kick formation. They look like they onside kick, and then they stop. So the special teams for Center Grove is obviously complex. Jesse, right now in this position, you got 4:30 remaining in the third quarter. So you've got a full quarter to play. You're only up by 8 points. Would you risk the punt fake here and potentially give up some incredible field position to the likes of Isaac James or John Lampe?
Well, in this situation, after that timeout, I'm a little uneasy about a possible situation there, but you do have a wide receiver kicking it away for you right now, showing off a lot of speed so far tonight. So let's see. Baldridge is back deep to return with 4:30 remaining here in the third quarter. He's going to be punting from about his own 15. They're going to punt this ball away, but that one is a high spiraling punt, advising all Carmel players to stay out of the area. It's going to take a Center Grove bounce back across to about the 42-yard line, so some pretty good field position.
So a good kick there. That is number 9, Matt O'Brien. We've seen him almost play that everywhere man position. We've seen him lining up as a receiver here and there. But a good job. Nice little punt there. Got a nice roll at the end. But still some good field position here for Isaac James, and he's seen quite a bit of playing time tonight, Jesse.
Has played the entire half so far in this one. 4:18 remaining in the third quarter as the Carmel Greyhounds will take over from their own 42, trailing by 8, as James is going to fake the handoff, moving across off the right tackle, slips and stumbles. We do have a penalty flag back near the 43-yard line. Would have been about a gain of 4, but we will see. With the penalty coming up, it will be holding against the Carmel Greyhounds, so a 1st and 20 coming up.
not happy with that call. And regardless, that's going to move the Greyhounds back. That's going to put that much more pressure here now on Isaac James, so keeping him in the ball game. Again, so it's going to be about a first and looks to be about an 18.
So from the spot of the foul will be the call here from their own 34. James will remain. They will come out with a three-wide set. He has Baldwin way out to his left on an island by himself, with Robertson Baldridge as the others. Perkins in the backfield, looking to pass. He's going to fake this one. Still looking to pass, in a lot of trouble, and James, a little undecisive on that play, is going to be brought down for a sack.
That is number 90, Caleb Kelsheimer, the linebacker they've brought in here. It's the first time we've called his name, really seen him have any action. Coming up big there for a nice sack. Isaac James trying to do everything he can to evade, but that's going to bring in number 7, John Lampe, the senior here. So a second and very long, almost another area code. John Lampe comes out in the pistol formation.
They're going to go four wide, split the difference, with Perkins in the backfield. Lampe looking to drop back, screen pass to his right to Roberts. Roberts trying to break through across the 35-yard line. They're going to gain about 6 yards. But still a third and very long, probably about 15, 16 yards coming up with 3:10 remaining here in the third quarter. 28-20 is still your score. So let's see what formation. Looks like they're going to come out with the same four-wide set with Baldwin, Baldridge, and Pearson out to his left. He also has Roberts alone out to his right. Perkins remains in the backfield. 3rd and 17 is the official spot from the pistol. Lampe is going to take the snap, bobbles it a little bit, has time to throw, rolling out to his right, looking for Roberts over the middle, and instead finds Perkins trying to shake a couple tacklers. The ball squirts loose, and the Carmel Greyhounds will fall on top of it, so no turnover. But nonetheless, that will bring up a 4th and about 12.
And again, that third down efficiency for the Greyhounds last game was only 36%. Not a good statistic if you're the Greyhounds. And Jesse, I kind of want to bring up a little point here. It seems like Lampe sometimes in the pocket scrambles before he has to. I think sometimes he feels like that pocket is breaking down when really it's not. Got to give credit to that offensive line. They've done a much better job tonight of maintaining that defensive pressure. Lampe, if he just settles down a little bit, maybe keeps his feet set, might be able to open up something.
So that mental clock kind of going off in his head as Kramer will field this one cleanly and a good punt over about the 20-yard line. And that one is going to be taken there by number 34, Pendygraf, with a nice solid fair catch over the middle with a minute 50 remaining here in the third quarter. We'll be right back with the...
They are just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
As we come back into this one, Center Grove will be lined up in their full house formation at their own 28 as Calvert is going to roll out to his right. He is going to look over and find Max Norris off the right side for a solid gain off of the catch. He is going to be pushed out of bounds near the 40-yard line. Will be about a 2nd and 2.
And that's a name we've called so many times tonight. Number 15, Max Norris, their running back, has just almost acted as that impact player. 2 touchdowns, over 90 yards each. What a phenomenal day he's had.
Same formation for Center Grove as they give it to Lane Morris up the middle, and Vic Rowe and Anthony Mazza are going to make the big stop on that one. No gain, possibly a loss on the play, setting up a 3rd and short. So will be exactly 1 minute to go here in the third quarter. If you are just joining us, I'm Jesse Smith alongside John Perkins, bringing you this WHJE production of Carmel Varsity Football.
And again, folks, just for those of you tuning in, 28-20 in favor of the Trojans. Center Grove has done a good job offensively tonight, but the defense trying to hold here on third down.
So full house set. They're going to give that one off to Daggett, off the right tackle. That's plenty of room. Has the first down and a lot more. Tripped up there in the secondary. But it looks like Luke Parker with a potential touchdown saving tackle as he was being blocked at the same time.
And that's the 2nd touchdown saving tackle that Luke Parker's had tonight. What a presence there in the secondary. And again, we talked about it, Jesse. That's one of these, this key to victory that we've been saying defensively. The Greyhounds have to shut down the run early, but what a play call there by Center Grove. Nice misdirection, able to almost hand it off to that two back, and just able to run right over the right side. Great job there keeping the defense on their toes.
And between the three running backs of this team, 279 rushing yards as we're approaching the end of the third quarter. As Calvert looking to pass, has no room to go, and he's going to take a big shot over the middle. We do have a penalty flag in the backfield, but a big hit there by number 38, Nick Sanar, with 9 seconds remaining, and that one is going to move after the holding call. We'll move Center Grove backwards.
And it looked like Nick Sanar there coming off hot. One of the offensive players got a little bit of his jersey there. Not enough to keep him from making a great play. We've called his name a few times tonight. He's done a good job over there at that linebacker position.
That's going to move him back for about a first and 20 situation. This is exactly where the Carmel Greyhounds want to be. We'll be in officially a first and 23 from their own 40-yard line. So if there's ever a time for the Carmel Greyhounds to make a defensive stop, it has to be on this set of downs right now. 9 seconds remaining in the quarter. The clock is running. Let's see if Calvert is going to try to call a play here before the end of the quarter. And it looks like he's just going to let this one run out. That will be the end of the third quarter. The Center Grove Trojans will still lead 28-20. Carmel cutting into that lead a little bit in that quarter.